Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room, and thank you so very much for joining me this evening. And this is a call for all real estate property evaluators, anyone who works in the financial area of mortgage closure, title representatives, as well as teachers. Now, the reason why I said real estate representatives is because tonight we finally get to bring on our expert in-house person on real estate. And unfortunately, she's had to go through a whole wealth of problems, even though she has had the skills and the knowledge to actually do processing of papers and selling of properties and homes. And herself, she has had to go through so many unfortunate, haphazard problems. As I have been trying to get this lady on the air now for a while now, her name is Michelle Brown. Michelle Brown has been with us before to talk about some incidents that happened to her, but now the writing is on the wall as to how all of these particular issues unfold because of a very special thing, and that is unlawful illegal foreclosure. And she traced it all back to that. Now, let me give you some background information. You may remember when she came on the show before and she talked about the unidentification or the false identification of someone naming her as a person they were looking for. And unfortunately, she had to go through some changes with the Our Finest Men in Blue. And what she didn't talk about at that time was what traced all this together. And what tracked all this together was the fact that she was a real estate broker and had her license. However, her mom and her purchased property that she was not behind on and up to date on her property, and she was paying on time. However, in her condo, they had an opportunity to find a way to evict her illegally. Now, I'm going to let her get into the details of it, but in her mother and her were basically becoming no-men. They were going from place to place, from hotel to hotel, in search of finding permanent home, a permanent home, and never to find it. And you know how hotels are. Sometimes they're unclean. Sometimes they have asbestos. Sometimes they also have the ducts need to be cleaned up, electrical systems are wrong, voltage, and also damage to your immune system. And it took its toll on her mother. It took its toll on her mother to the point where she became ill. And her 70-some-odd-year-old mother became ill and had to be actually forced to go into the hospital, not on her own will, but forced, and subsequently going in to receive treatment after she suffered from a very, very grave infection that was not treatable, which she eventually ended up embracing death because of it. And all of this ricocheted from an eviction notice where she was put out of her condominium. And after paying every month, never being late. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that this is a lady that is very knowledgeable about her understanding of real estate. She understood the contextualized information in her contract. She was not behind. She was not behind on any of her bills whatsoever. And her mother and her literally had been forced out of their condominium. She knew something was wrong but couldn't put her foot or hand on it. And after being forced out, she realized that this was a hostile takeover. Now, I have Mrs. Brown here with me in our studio, and she will be talking to you in detail about what exactly went on.
Good evening. This is Michelle Brown, and I'm calling and speaking about this housing situation that some people have found themselves in due to no fault of their own. And eviction, particularly or foreclosure illegally on an individual, is a very, very complicated situation. Because when we were becoming homeless, we weren't aware of it because we were paying the mortgage and the assessment on time every month. We were never late. But the condominium complex was doing certain things to us, like they shut our water off somehow. Our water was being rerouted. And we went and got the plumber to come in, and they wouldn't allow him to go into the common area. Into the lockbox where the management system was. It took like a week for the plumber to be able to come in because they would not let him inside of the control box because they were controlling the flow of water. One thing about water has a definite pattern, and you can control water. And they were rerouting the water away from the flushes, and they would reroute the water in the pipes so to damage the apartment, to make it look like we were damaging the walls and the common areas because they were rerouting the pipes, and they were backing the water into the common areas. And this was something that the condominium had done, I guess, to force us out, to make it look as if we were doing something we weren't doing. And they were controlling all of this. They even redirected water into the electrical outlets. So when we turn on the lights, water would come through the electrical units. And that's very dangerous because water and electricity don't mix. But they did those things, and I guess these were things to make us leave.
Now, Mrs. Brown, can you tell me what exactly transpired to lead you to believe that you still owned your property and to believe that this was a hostile takeover? And what documents did they present to you to show you that they had legal grounds for foreclosure?
Absolutely nothing. The condominium association didn't have show us anything. We had a mortgage deed that was recorded with Popular Mortgage of New Jersey, and the condo association had no paperwork to show us that they were in fact owners of our apartment. What they had done was intimidation. They had done all these things to try to destroy our apartment, which would make it uninhabitable. By making it uninhabitable, I have to use that word legally, it's called uninhabitable. Anytime a property has been deemed uninhabitable, you're forced out of the property. And that's what they were doing, and that's what they had ultimately done.
So in essence, you're saying that they created a situation to make it look like the property was condemnable, and they actually condemned it with you in it and moved you out. So, in essence, what we have here is an illegal, unlawful seizure of your property. And, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm hearing Mrs. Brown say is that this can be done when you're not even late for your payments or you're not behind. And the other thing is that they didn't even honor the fact that she was a real estate licensed person and had background. They didn't even honor the fact that she would come against them. Now, I want to talk to Mrs. Brown up front and personal and confidential and ask her what would have been the recourse to take in order to point out this illegal, hostile takeover of an unlawful foreclosure.
Well, I think for a civilian or a citizen that is not connected to the condominium association, because with the condominium association, they have so much apparatus available to them to take your property, meaning that they can vote you off of the board. The board of directors can vote you out. They can do so many things to force you out of the condominium. But the thing is, I feel that according to the lawyers that I've spoken with, most of them would tell me to find a real estate attorney, because most of the lawyers that were in Chicago at that particular period of time, like 2006, 2007, they were not available. There were really no real estate lawyers that would take my case because they were so indebted to these associations and through these deep pockets that they couldn't represent me. So I know at the same time I would write the attorney general. I wrote the attorney, I think it was Gonzalez at the time, for the federal government, and I was told to obtain a lawyer. But it's easier said than done. It's hard to obtain a lawyer when they're all being connected to the same system which created your trouble. And because they're representing those individuals, they can't represent people who are being hurt by it, which they are upholding. So that's the quagmire. And that's what the situation was. So I never could find a specific real estate attorney that could represent me in this case at that particular period of time.
Mrs. Brown, I'd like to commemorate you and your mother for being so steadfast in a situation where you were going from hotel to hotel. It must have taken a lot of stamina and funds to do what you had to do, to do what you had to do, because you were a trooper in taking on this particular bank. But my question is, because you were so busy moving from place to place, you probably didn't have time to bring any recourse such as a lawsuit against the mortgage company. But if you had it to do all over again, what would you do differently than what you did before? And do you think there was a way to save your mother from meeting with her death prematurely?
I think I was asking for help from many different institutions. I wrote the United States Attorney General, and I was told that I needed to obtain a lawyer. I didn't get any help from any of the governmental agencies. I didn't. So basically, I don't think I could have done anything different. I think the only thing different is that could have been done is that these legal agencies that I contact would have been able to obtain an attorney that would have been able to handle the case for me. So if they would have helped me obtain a lawyer, then it's possible that we could have been out of that situation. But just on my own, I don't think I could have done anything any different because I exhausted every institution I could possibly exhaust. I went to the state attorney. I went to the even Lisa Madigan. I wrote her, and she said the same thing. I mean, you know, all these institutions basically I felt didn't do me any due diligence in terms of helping me obtain an attorney. So that was the situation.
I suppose that legal aid is out too because you have to make a certain amount of money in order to qualify, and they usually turn you away if you're over that particular guideline. Now, Michelle, I still believe you have recourse because of the fact that you had a great loss and some damages by the fact that you lost your mother, and you incurred quite a few medical bills, I understand, at the hospital. And they are looking for someone to pay, and they may have gotten involved with trying to hold you accountable for those debts. And how do you feel about those debts? Who do you think is liable for those debts? Because you have a claim against a mortgage company, I would suppose. Who do you think needs to step in to answer to the outstanding medical bills that have come from the hospital? And do you think you should be harassed for those debts?
Well, no, I don't think I should be harassed because I felt me and my mother were harassed enough, and that's why my mother's not on this. Her presence is, in terms of her physical presence, is not on this earth, is because of the harassment that they inflicted upon us. And we had been doing this ordeal since we were illegally forced from our home. And all the money that we have been spending in hotels and cabs, I mean, it's just thousands and thousands of dollars. And we lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of our property because they wouldn't even allow us to remove our contents. The contents in that house was worth much more than the property. We lost over $500,000 worth of property in paintings, fur coats, jewelry. Just a life's amount of work. My mother's 30-some years of work and my 18 years of work. So we lost a lot of expensive merchandise in that condominium that we were not able to recover from. And then the money that we did have, we were draining that in hotels and travel, and that was just against our will. So as far as the hospital, my mother was forced into the hospital against her will. She didn't agree to be there. I didn't agree to have her there. But somehow they forced her in there, and they want to be paid for her ultimately dying. And I think this is, to me, a beyond travesty because I don't feel that this situation should have happened like this. And I don't feel any, it was a horrendous and horrific experience to endure. And I'm devastated beyond words.
I like to help you to say that I can perceive why you are. The system turned its back on you. At least the mortgage company did not give an explanation for why they was doing this. And at the same time, they were busy fraudulently stockpiling people's property, and yours was one of them. However, the recourse needs to be put on the organizations that are looking to assist clients with any type of rights that they might have. And it's really becoming a joke, the modification, the indictment on the 16 banks where they were supposed to come back and to readjust those loans and give them a principal reduction and interest reduction, as well as giving them an opportunity for modification or deed in lieu of or short sales. All of those things were given back to the banks that were initially indicted to set the record straight with those homeowners who lost their property. And I don't very well see you giving that responsibility to the people who initially alleged the felon on those people. And now what we have is a bunch of people who have been given a small segment of money to pretend that they're made whole while someone carries around your deeds and your titles, if they have them. That's another question. If they have them, some of them claim that they've had them in their possession and that they've been maintaining them, and there's no continuity that has been broken in a forensic investigation where those documents were there at all times, when they've been lying, as the documents have been away, locked up in vaults, and they've never held those material documents in their possession after they securitized these loans. Now, Mrs. Brown, can you talk to me a little bit about securitizing loans? What does that mean in the arena of the real estate business when you have your loan securitized?
Well, basically, when your loan is securitized, you have definitely a contract, but you more or less, more importantly, you have a deed to that property. And you, as a mortgagor, you have a loan. At the same time, you have the property as collateral. And in securitizing that loan, it is tied to certain procedures that someone cannot just, if they were to try to take that property, there are certain procedures that would have to exist and would have to transpire before any property could be taken. But when people bypass these things and they do things illegally, or shall I say through adverse possession, that's the word I need. That's the word that's most important, is adverse possession.
Now, I'm glad you brought that term up, adverse possession, because they are also, not looking at the fact that this particular material document must have the wet signature. And folks, what that wet signature is your authentic signature when you first sign at the closing. It is not a copy. It is not a ditto, a mimeogram. It is not a written, but it is the authentic copy of the actual signature. They can't come in court with a copy of your signature, and they can't come in court with some of the documents and not all of them. They must have a note. And a large portion of these mortgage companies, when they got these particular certificates, they got them in a certificate bond. They may have gotten them in bulk, and therefore they bought those in bulk without the note and without the signature and without the deed. So therefore, once they securitize it, it also means that that debt gets paid off and gets satisfied, and therefore there is no debt. But for them to pretend that they are foreclosing on that property, which they cannot do because it is securitized, and they cannot sell that property in an auction to somebody else because it has been paid off, and they have no documents to give that new home buyer an actual note or deed, and they cannot get a bill of sale saying paid in full, because what they're supposed to do to that prior owner is to give them a copy of the actual sales slip stating paid in full, and they're supposed to keep the prior homeowner informed. Those are some criteria that the bank put in place that must be adhered to, and they have been violating those procedures. And another thing, as I talked to you before, and Mrs. Brown may probably elaborate on a little bit further, on the fact that when you have a mortgage, you have a contract, and contract law is contract law. It doesn't change. When you come together over that contract, you have a meeting of the minds. It cannot be implied and orally implied, but it has to be writtenly implied. And anything in that contract that might be vague with contextualized material, that contract must be explained. And it cannot be, things cannot be hidden or covered or distorted so that you cannot clearly understand. For example, here's my case in point. When you're signing something, you must know that you are relinquishing your rights and authority to that particular property. You must know that you're giving all authority to of various different mortgage companies. And if you don't have explanation and there's no recourse or conversation at that point when you're going over that document, then it becomes vague. And I don't care how many degrees you got or real estate license you have, if you don't have the meeting of the mind, it could be misconstrued as if you are hiding information from the potential buyer of that property to finagle that property out of that person's hand, not letting them know that they're giving up their authority. Just like you give your signature, you should be able to invoke your signature and make it null and void. Now, here we have to get into some contract law. And, ladies, I'm telling you, and gentlemen, they will not toy with you over the issue of title in a courtroom. Some courts don't even want to hear your issue of title if you have a title. But you can go back to them about contracts or law. And in order for you to have a sales, you have to have a contract that is deemed a contract, because the meeting of the mind must have transpired. And if you did not have a meeting of the mind, then you might not have a contract. So therefore, to foreclose on any property may be illegal because the content of the contract is not sound. So you might want to look at, how do I fight on the basis of an illegal contract? How do I fight on the basis that there was never a meeting of the mind? And it's very important that you should understand contracts or law and working with contracts. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a member of the bar, but I do have a right to give you information on contracts or law because of the fact that everything we do is a contract nowadays. And it turns out that the courts know very little about foreclosure law. So they play into the hands of the actual plaintiff. And whatever it is they want, if they want them to strike your motion from the record, if they put a lien on you and you want to answer that summons and you want a stay put on it, and you are a pro se person, they want to strike everything that you request. They don't even want to read your document if you have a counter. They find every reason to deny you an opportunity to present your case. They'll even say this looks like a new case, and you cannot present a new case when it's based on a case that exists. You must ask for permission to come in and present your case. The law needs to be rewritten, and it needs to be clarified, because there's some illegal things that are happening in a court of law where most of these judges are letting these lawyers have a field day. And pro se, when they walk in, they assume you don't know what you're doing. But there's some very intelligent pro se fighters out there who have put together monumental cases and have won. So don't fear, because we're going somewhere with this. Now, we're going to bring Ms. Brown back. Now, Ms. Brown is going to bring you to tears, because I tell you, when I heard this story, I was brought to tears to find out how her mother and her, being teachers, professionals in the community, had to struggle. It is literally hideous for somebody of their intelligence and intellect to have struggled the way they did, and for someone to falsify and steal their property. I'm going to put Ms. Brown on the phone so she could tell you about the intimate time she stood behind her mother's bed and watched her mother suffer and could not help her mother as she slipped on away into the next world. And she's still yet not well. She's still broken and needs to be made whole. I'm going to bring her right in the atmosphere. Ms. Brown?
Yes, it was very awful, because we, through the course of this year, me and my mother moved like 15 times from 2014. And basically, it was in the wintertime too, so this was really bad. It was like really cold. And we developed upper respiratory tract infections. And I don't know how we developed this, but the doctor told us it was bacterial. That's what the doctor told us. And I said, wow, bacterial. I said, I wonder how I got this. I think it was Legionnaire's disease. I think because they didn't clean one of the hotels we stayed at for a certain period of time, the heating and cooling system was not being filtered properly, and it wasn't being cleaned, because management told me that it hadn't been cleaned. That's why we were getting sick. So we moved out of there, and they were saying that we're going to correct the situation, and we just get hurt and got out of there. But by that time, we had already developed these upper respiratory tract infections, and we're moving in the heart of January, and we're moving around in February. And this, like I said, my mother's 70 years old. This really took a toll on, you know, our health, and particularly my mother being 70. So when we developed this this upper respiratory tract infection, that's how she ultimately when she was forced into the hospital against her will, because she was conscious, she was walking, but she was not feeling well that morning. But we have a doctor. They wouldn't allow us to, because my mother was, we had stayed one night at the extended stay, and this was in Michigan. And somehow the housekeeping, I let the housekeeping in. I shouldn't have done that, but I didn't really think much about it, because they come, the hotels always have people clean and things and ask you if you need help or anything or need anything. So when I answered the door, the housekeeper came in and she said, "Do you guys need anything?" I said, "No." My mom said, "No." And she said, "Hi." And then she left. And then the next minute, management was knocking on the door. And I said, "Oh, I wonder what this is about." I went to the door, and I was like, "Well, go ahead to the door, and, you know, who's that knocking?" I said, "Well, you know," because at the time, I think she was indecent. I think she went to the bathroom or something. And the manager said, "The housekeeper was in here, and they saw somebody on the floor. They were sitting on the floor, and they didn't understand why they were on the floor." And I said, "Well, they wanted to be on the floor because it was comfortable for them to sit on the floor, because your furniture is not very comfortable, and the beds you have are very high up, and you don't have any mechanism on the beds. You don't have anything to hold on to. So that's why they're like, well, can we talk to this person?" I said, "Well, wait a minute. Let me go check with my mother. Let me ask her if she wants to talk to you." So I said, "Mom, the management's here because the housekeeper was just here a few minutes ago and they saw you sitting on the floor. So they wanted to make sure everything was all right with you, and she wanted to come and talk to you." So my mother's like, "Okay, wow. I know I don't want to talk to her, but if she's going to cause me more trouble, I guess I have no choice, do I?" I said, "Well, I don't know what she's going to do, but, she sounds like she's, you know," she said, "yeah, someone's always trying to check to see how they can help you. Someone wanted to help me, they would try to help me obtain my listen to me for our house. But no one wants to do that. They just want to, you know, it's like the old saying that when you have a problem, they want to keep adding to it and make it get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what ultimately happened. Well, when the management came in and talked to my mom, they were like, "Oh, how are you cognizant?" And she's like, "I'm fine. I was sitting on the floor." And she went back and to sit on the floor again because she said, "I'm comfortable on the floor." I want to sit on the floor because that's where I want to be. And I'm comfortable on the floor right now. She said, "Well, do you need a doctor?" She said, "No, I have a doctor," which we did. And we, matter of fact, she had a doctor's appointment that Friday or Saturday morning. I'm not sure what it was. But they didn't allow us the opportunity because that was a Thursday. It was Thursday, and it was Thursday morning. And she said, "Well," she saw her mother on the floor. She saw her come out the bathroom and get on the floor. So she said, "Well, why do you keep pouring back on the floor? And why is it so cold in your room?" My mom said, "I want it cold because you had the heat up so high, my daughter couldn't breathe. When she last night came in, you had the heat up so high, my daughter almost fell out." And I did. I almost fell out because I had, like I said, I had upper respiratory tract infection. I couldn't breathe. So my mother went and opened the windows in the hotel. She went and opened all the windows because I couldn't breathe. And she said, "Well, it's too cold in here. You need to close the windows." So she went over there and closed the windows against my mother's wishes. We were paying for the room, not her. So if we wanted it cool, it should have been our choice to have it cool because I couldn't breathe. I had an upper respiratory tract infection. They had it at 150 degrees, and I couldn't breathe. And my mother saw me gasping because I was wheezing. And when she heard me wheezing, my mother wouldn't open the windows. And that's why, you know. But they want to kill you. They want to kill us, and that's what they ultimately ended up doing to my mom.
No.
So that's what they wanted to do. Yeah, they wanted to kill us, and they ultimately ended up killing my mother. So, you know, my mother was trying to protect us by having the windows open because something in that room was so hot, and it was something, it created me to wheeze. I was wheezing. You know, but my mom, she opened the windows up, and I could breathe.
Now, we know ultimately it ended up in death. And my question to you, Michelle, is...
They called the ambulance.
Was there any opportunity for you to talk to any of the agencies such as the NAACP or the Urban League? And do you feel that it would be comforting to know that you had some recourse to contact them to talk about this unlawful death and untimely death and the fact that you were actually a part of a genocide? You were displaced. And I think we are looking at the wrong thing when we go into these courtrooms and say, oh, hey, you can't foreclose on me, it's illegal. We need to look at a genesis, the displacement and the unauthorized displacement of someone stockpiling their portfolios. This was very untimely for you and your family. I know your brother, who I've been a neighbor of, and the NAACP needs to get involved. There will be a case held this week on Wednesday the 10th at 12 noon in Hammond, and if any of you would like to be a part of it here in the Midwest, we are fighting back and we are standing up and we are standing and delivering us teachers. Michelle is a teacher and her mother was a teacher. Her brother is a teacher. My brother is a teacher, and we are standing together here in Indiana. And if anybody would like to stand with us whose mothers or fathers or brothers' homes have been taken, we invite you to do so, because we are not going to lay down for this one, because these illegal things have been happening and they have not had any recourse as to what happens to us, as to whether or not we have to live under the bridges or whether or not we have to camp out. I say that in California they're camping out. They are literally sitting out, because they are sick and tired, too, of this illegal procedure and seeding. And it's another way to create a genocide. You displace the mothers, you displace the children, you displace the fathers and the sons, and you break the families up. And herein lies the problem where NAACP, I hope you hear me out there. We've got phone calls into you, and we hope that you will come to our rescue. You have documented some statistics on this grave case, and you have put it out there in writing. I want to see if you will stand with us in power and solidarity, because that's what us teachers stand for, solidarity. We want these cases to be heard promptly, and we do not want to be filibustered by any judge or courtroom where they deny us of our rights and throw the case from one end of judiciary to the other end of the judiciary. And we want to be given a fair chance in hearing our cases. And we don't want anybody to cover up and lawyers to go into the courtroom and literally bamboozle these judges out of our rights. Our due process has been violated, and we know the difference between the 4th and the 15th Amendment. We have a right to liberty, pursuit of happiness, and to land. And those violations of rights have been violated, and we have other constitutional rights that have also been violated. There's been predatory practices that have been heaped upon black women, specifically teachers. Predatory lending, thinking that we would not discover that you've given us a balloon payment, and that hopefully by the time that we realize it, that you would have already sold the property and auctioned it off and put it in your real collection. But I got news for you. The ancestors is not having it, and we know what this story is all about, and we know how it's going to end. It says we win. And somewhere in the ethers, the actual ancestors will speak on our behalf, and they will show up in the courtroom, because that's their vital place. Tehuti and Maya are with us. And Tehuti, if you know anything about Tehuti, and Maya is truth, justice, and righteousness, and Tehuti speaks, he is the speaker. So the speaker of the house will be in the house in Hammond, and the speaker will be standing strong and standing and delivering. My question is, will you be there to support it? And how many of you black people are going to lock arms and say, we are in solidarity in Indiana? Indiana sets precedence for a lot of other states. Don't play Indiana cheap, especially Gary, Indiana, because they come together with solidarity. And they know who I am, Mrs. Goss, who has taught many of their children, who have come together in unity to stand on their behalf. So I'm asking the mothers and the parents to stand with us on Wednesday. If you can't be there, stand on Facebook and give your support, because we will be fighting. This will be a monumental case, possibly a prima facie case, because we're throwing everything we can at them, and we will stand and deliver. Because we are without lawyers, that does not mean that we are without representation. We stand on the right, on the side of right. We've got the side of God. We've got God on our side, and we stand on the side of right, because we know that these foreclosures have been illegally administered. We know that someone has covered up and falsified that these actual deeds have been paid for through the process of PMI as well as securitizing. They've been paid for through the art of discharging the bankruptcy. So these banks are getting, or these mortgage companies are getting all this money knowing that there is no debt. Now, Mrs. Brown has had a grave loss, and our effort is to set up a monumental thing every year for her mother's death so that those who are still living in those hotels or under the bridges, we want to find opportunities where we could find houses for them to have suitable housing and permanent housing. Just like we go to these third world countries to help these people who are in war and we help get them on their feet. Well, we're being treated like second class citizens and third world countries here in this United States. This civil war has begun and it seized upon those minority people, white and black, have lost their homes, and we should work together in solidarity with those Europeans who are struggling right now. I've helped one of them myself, and they didn't know where to turn. It's not about skin color. It's about doing the right thing, and I believe if we come together in solidarity in the effort of poor people or people who are struggling, then we don't have to put a caste on it or a race, but we can put what's on it is that it's illegal to stockpile somebody's property and put in your portfolio and do it illegally with the bank supporting you, with the judge supporting you, and the system supporting you because they claim they're not familiar with foreclosure procedures. Well, then they should be familiar if they're going to stand in the courtroom. They should give you a jury of your own trial and let the jury hear the cases. That is the way due process is done. Now, I'm going to say that I'm a little fed up because I have heard so many people talk to Mrs. Tanya Denny about what has been going on, so we decide to make this a regular opportunity. And there's paralegals out there supporting us, too. So we have right on our side. We have the teachers' union and the paralegals, the teachers' union right, not the regular union, but we've banded ourselves together in California. And we also have the support of the paralegals here locally, the African-American paralegals, and some lawyers that have actually supported us throughout the year who will be supporting us in this effort. So we are not alone. And if lawyers try to intimidate you, if they try to press you, if they try to threaten you, if they try to evict you and maliciously send people to you, then stand. And then I say remain standing, and still I say stand. And when you've done all you can do to stand, I say remain standing, because we will win in solidarity. There's no other way but solidarity. Now I'm going to bring Mrs. Brown back, because she has to tell you what actually transpired with her mother and how she had to sit there and watch her mother die. Not another soul, we decree, will go through this again. Because we are human beings and we don't deserve to be given stakeholders under bridges when we've served overseas as rightful civilians, as teachers. We served overseas. Now, all my teachers that went overseas with me in Europe and Germany, stand up. Where are you? Stand up. Because we need the military to step in on this one because they are protected. Their homes are protected for any of the military troops who find themselves in foreclosure. We need to help the civilian teachers because we went overseas and supported the military for 2 and 3 and 5 years. And we come back here to this dreadful place and we get treated like second-class citizens and our homes are stripped away and we're disrespected. Not anymore. We're going to stand and we're going to ask the military to stand with me. Some of the troops knew me when we were the last to shut down. Back Kurzweil, Germany, we closed the place down, our family. We were the last one left standing. And I'm pleading with you, if you know anything about military, you know the hard times you have supporting the military and working to help them. It's no different from soldiers going out front. Our lives are threatened too. As a matter of fact, the bunkers in our community were literally coming to our home. We are fortunate to be back here in the United States. And I'd like to thank some of our congressmen who assisted and aided me in a congressional order. And you know who you are. I won't call your name. There's some people, some very important people that stood with me then, and I'm asking them to stand with me now because I have stood for black and white, Jews and Gentiles. So it's now time to stand in solidarity. Let me call Mrs. Brown back so she can tell you the dreadful story as she watched her mother die. That evening, she shed many tears, but God said,